be doubtful.
The makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Purine and Press Cooking Fat, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, Maple Margarine, Niblet Cheese Twist, Halvarine Bread Spread, and Blossom Yellow Margarine present The Epic Casebook. In which Inspector Carr investigates.
Good evening. On all sides, we hear of acts of heroism and noble selflessness, only to be counterbalanced with horrible newspaper stories of a battered baby or a cruel and senseless murder of torture and mayhem. Happily, one can discern a very marked change in the attitude of the public. I myself witnessed an attempted robbery by a youth wielding a dagger, which was foiled by a passerby, whose quick and courageous intervention prevented not only an act of robbery, but possibly murder. The public are showing a greater sense of responsibility and cooperation in assisting the police to enforce law and order. I'm prompted to say all this by the latest circular from my old friends at Scotland Yard. Just before Christmas, two men were seen leaving a car outside the Home Office building. Within minutes, the bomb went off in the car, injuring a number of people nearby. Now, as a result of information given by several witnesses, Scotland Yard issued what is known as a photo fit picture. The impact was tremendous. Within a matter of days, these descriptions of the two men, all varying, yet all making a composite photograph, resulted in the arrest of Kieran and Marlin Coyle. The photo fit is, of course, a development from what was known as Identikit. And the success photo fit is achieving rests solely on the ready cooperation of the public. Time was when there was an attitude of, I don't want to get involved, it's no affair of mine. As I've said, the changing world is forcing respectable citizens to wake up to their responsibilities. That wasn't the case when a man known to his associates as Sidney the Spender was murdered. Let me tell you about it. I called my story Consignment for Death.
Think of like a blossom, get it while the fresh takes the day. When your breakfast gets from waking in the morning. For the sandwiches you're making in the midday blossom. For your roast and baking in the evening blossom. Think of like a blossom.
Blossom, yellow margarine.
Think of pack of blossoms.
For sandwiches that burst with health and farm fresh taste.
Think of pack of blossoms.
For frying eggs to a golden turn. For dabbing on your vegetables, carrots, peas, potatoes.
Think of pack of blossoms.
For baking and roasting and spreading on crisp, warm rolls. And satisfying your family with its farm fresh taste.
Blossom helps a busy mum. Make sure today you're choosing it, using it. Blossom, blossom, pick a pack of blossom.
Pick a pack of blossom.
Sidney Bramsall was found by his housekeeper early one morning as she went to take her employer his pot of tea.
Mr. Bramsall! Come on, Spender, you weren't all that late. I heard you come in. Mr. Bramsall sleeps like the dead he does. Oh, well, let's hope you're decent. Now, keep calm, Jessimore. Keep calm. Don't touch nothing. Something horrid has happened. There's been a murder. Baby's murdered Spender. I mean Mr. Bramsall. He's lying there on the carpet with his throat cut. He was such a lovely fella.
I'll never get another job like this one.
Did you telephone the police immediately?
As soon as I opened the door and I saw he was lying there, I dropped my tray and I ran downstairs to telephone. Oh, dear. I've got the shivers, I have.
Mrs. Moore, isn't it? Isn't that the name you gave?
Yes, that's my
name. Well, I don't think you need coming to the room. Why don't you go down and make yourself a cup of tea and put plenty of sugar in it?
That's all right, Doctor. I'm a bit shaky, but I'll be all right. There, in that room. Look at him.
Dear, dear. What an unpleasant sight to come upon, Mrs. Moore.
Is this bedroom window always kept open?
Well, yeah, in the summer. Mr. Bramson was a great one for fresh air.
Oh, I see there's a very convenient drain by. Well, Mac?
A very sharp instrument indeed.
Mm.
If I had to hazard a guess, I'd say it's either an old-fashioned type of razor or a razor blade fixed to a handle.
No wonder they used to call them cutthroats.
Yeah.
What time did he come home last night, you know?
Early. I heard the church clock strike 12. I haven't been sleeping well lately. But then I heard a taxi pull up and I heard Mr. Bramsell say, "That's all right, keep the change." Yeah. Quiet as a church mouse he was. Always considerate with Mr. Bramsell. Of course, he didn't know I was awake.
You heard him pay off a taxi. Oh, that'll be very useful. Well, then what else did you hear?
Well, I heard him close the door.
Are you sure you heard Mr. Bramsell shut the front door?
Yeah, and put the chain on it.
Well, how can you be sure of that?
Well, because the chain was on when I got up this morning.
You didn't hear any other voice, other than your employer's?
No, he was on his own, I swear to that.
Hmm. Mrs. Moore, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and I've missed my morning cuppa. I wonder if you'd mind making some tea. I'm sure that Dr. McPherson could do with some.
Aye, that's a good idea. Now, and here, Mrs. Moore, take this pill. Go on, it's only a sedative.
Well, all right, Doctor, if you say so. I'll give you a shout when the tea's been made.
All right.
Tough old girl, eh? Anyone else would have passed out, but not her. Insists on coming back to the ghastly scene. The scene of the crime was indeed ghastly. Sidney Bramsell was a short, rather corpulent individual dressed in pajamas made from a rich green silk. His almost bald head and curved stomach would have made ideal material for some good-humoured cartoonist, were it not for the red stain on the pajama jacket and the horrible wound.
It's difficult to say at this stage, Carter, but he's been dead for at least 5 or 6 hours, I'd say.
Chances are more than that, Mac. What would you say, there's 7 or 8 hours?
Yeah, it could be.
I'm taking into consideration the housekeeper's statement. If he arrived just around midnight, did his ablutions, his shoes are placed neatly on the shoe rack, I assume he put away his suit tidily, the bed hasn't been slept in.
Which means that the killer waited until Bramsell went into that bathroom, stood ready to strike, and when Bramsell was about to get into bed, he killed him.
Yes, I think it's about the measure of it. Which means we've got to find the taxi man who brought him home. Shouldn't have much difficulty there. Something worrying you, eh?
Aye, there is. You know, I've been mixed up with brutal assaults and murder for over a quarter of a century, and I've never become inured to this sort of thing. Seeing a sight like this, I mean.
A man with his throat cut? Neither have I. Our feelings may have become blunted over the years, but let's pray we never become so insensitive as to be able to look at a thing like this without a feeling of revulsion. But that's not what's worrying you.
Oh, it's the housekeeper. She's under emotional stress, all right, but to be able to talk to us so calmly with her boss lying there in a pool of blood...
She's a tough woman, all right. Hey, just a minute. Moore. Jessica Moore.
What's crossed your mind?
The Moore case. Mrs. Moore was found not guilty. Her husband went inside for 10 years, having been found guilty of robbery with violence. They used to keep a lodging house near the Millwall docks. Many a drunken sailor had reason to regret seeking their hospitality. You realize what this means, Mac? We've only got her word for it. The open window may be a blind. She may have left the front door open. There may have been something in this house of great value. Except
what, Carter?
Except she must know that we always check on the person who first discovers the dead body. I'm going to take a look around the back. Can you come with me? Well, Mac, if the killer did gain entry through the bedroom window, he'd either have to use a ladder or climb this drain pipe. Take a look at this.
That paint's very soft.
That's been newly painted. No one could have climbed that pipe without leaving some kind of mark, even though the paint is dry.
It's pretty evident that no one did.
And how are they going to get a ladder? They'd have to climb over the brick wall separating this garden from that one. Let's go over and take a look. Now, the street running parallel with this is called Ross Avenue. We'll have to find out whether anyone had access to that house, although it's extremely unlikely.
The culprit is hardly likely to knock at the door and say, can I take a ladder through your back garden over the wall to Mr. Bramsell's house, sir?
Pity it didn't rain during the night. The soil that had provided us with a footprint or two. Oh, let's try the back door.
Please, up.
Oh, well, she's opened it for us.
Mrs. Moore,
no sign of any forced entry. No tradesman's entrance. There's just this door leading onto the garden.
Oh, we always keep it locked. I've just unlocked it. And the key was inside the lock, so no one got in through this back door.
Oh, let's go and have his tea. Oh, when does your husband come out, Mrs. Moore?
Another 2 years. If he keeps his nose clean. I'm scared, Inspector. Terrified. I knew you'd tumble to me, but I wouldn't arm the spender. He's been marvellous.
Now, you realise the position you're in? You say that the chain was on the front door, so no one could have gained entry that way. And even if they did, how could they put the chain back on the door?
Through the window.
Hmm?
The open window. If he had to come in that way, it had to be...
Otherwise, things look pretty black for you, Mrs. Moore. Because nobody climbed into that first floor bedroom window. There's nowhere to get a grip on the outside except by using the drain pipe, and that's been newly painted.
I know it was. It was painted a couple of days ago.
While you were waiting for the cops, you must have had a look around. What's been pinched? Hmm? An old campaigner like yourself, that's the first thing you'd look for, wouldn't you? Did Mr. Bramsell keep any valuables in the house?
Valuables? What, jewels, antiques, that sort of thing? No. Always said he didn't go for possessions.
Mm.
Mind you, he always had quite a bit of money on him. That's why they called him the spender.
Mm.
They didn't call him that for nothing. He had art as big as a dock's he did. Believe me, Inspector, I didn't do him in. I loved him. Came all the way down to East End India Dock Road.
I don't go to what Alan did, but I do remember when you and he had that cafe in Victoria Road. I got many a free meal from you both after I lost my job with Samson's. What are you going to do, Mrs. Moore?
What can I do? I have to leave here by Friday, the latest. Every farthing we had went in solicitor's fees. I'm skint, broke. I can't scrub floors except there are so many foreign girls about. It's good of you to call Mr. Bramsell. It isn't everyone who remembers a good turn.
Now, look, I've got a house in Lewisham. My housekeeper's had to go into her home. She's a very sick woman. I need someone to look after it. As soon as I read the verdict in the paper, I thought of you.
You mean you trust me?
They found you not guilty, didn't they? It'd be a good job. It's 6 years since I left this district. Things have gone well for me. I'll pay you a reasonable wage.
He was the nicest, kindest bloke you could ever wish to meet.
What business was he in?
He's got a warehouse. He imports kiddies' toys, that sort of thing. He's got an agency from behind the Iron Curtain.
I see. Where is this warehouse?
Millwall Docks, not very far from where we used to have our lodging house.
You referred to him as the Spender. Was that his nickname?
Yeah, everybody called him the Spender. He didn't mind it. It wasn't only because he was so free with his money, he was no fool. Not by a long chalk. But when it came to tipping or helping someone out, well, he was known as a spend everywhere he went.
Did he gamble, Mrs. Moore?
No. He used to say it was a mug's game. I don't think he ever went on a race course in his life.
You know, what about cards, roulette, that sort of thing?
I tell you, he hated gambling.
Mm-hmm. Then what was his weakness?
Girl, that was his weakness. The number of kids who've taken him for a ride.
Has he got a current girlfriend?
Yeah, but I don't know who she is.
Then how do you know?
You could always tell by his aftershave lotion. If he wasn't going to meet a girl, you wouldn't tell he'd got any on. But when he said, I won't be home for dinner, Mrs. Moore, and he'd stink the place out with his aftershave lotion, I used to think, oh, well, he's got somebody else on tow.
And what about last night?
You could smell it a mile off. He went to see a girl last night.
He did he? That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Pick a pack of Blossom, get it from Fresh Pick today. When your breakfast gets from waking in the morning.
Whether spread on toast or frying eggs to a golden turn, Blossom Yellow Margarine tastes the way your family loves it, light and fresh.
All the sandwiches you're making in the midday, Blossom.
Give your busy, hungry family their sandwiches with Blossom. They can taste the farm-fresh flavors, good and healthy.
For your roast and baking in the evening, Blossom.
When your family's at supper, they'll enjoy a roast with the touch of Blossom. They'll love it on their vegetables and spread on crisp, warm rolls. So give them all the farm-fresh taste of Blossom.
Blossom helps a busy mum. Make sure today you're choosing it, using it, Blossom. Pick a pack of Blossom.
Pick a pack of Blossom.
Neither Dr. McPherson nor I had the slightest doubt but that Mrs. Moore was innocent of the actual killing. But at this stage, everything pointed to the possibility that she was an accomplice to the murder. With the arrival of the photographers and the print men and the removal of the body to the police mortuary, the entire resources of the murder squad concentrated on solving the mystery. Carr?
Operation Zero, Inspector.
Yes, Op.
Sidney Bransall, age 58, well thought of in the East London patch. Nothing known against him, sir. Bachelor, no immediate relatives. Parents died in Lithuania during the war, sir. Known to subscribe liberally to local charities, is known by his associates as the Spender. Owns and operates the Bransall Trading Company, Thames Wharf, Millwall Docks.
Thanks, Op. I want a tale put on his housekeeper, Jessica Moore. I want to know where she went last night, what time she got home, the lot.
Very good,
and organise a vehicle. I'll go down to the trading company. Mr. Lane.
That's right, sir. You must be the gentleman from Scotland Yard, the one that telephoned.
I am. As I told you, I'd be grateful if no mention was made of this. The press will have it within an hour or two. Now, you said on the telephone that Mr. Bransall left this warehouse at 5 o'clock.
That's right, Tony, didn't you?
Did he tell you where he was going?
No, just told me to make sure the place was locked up.
Who else works here?
Sadie Farmer. She's going to have to get some milk. She was after him.
How long have you been working for Mr. Bransall?
Ever since he opened this warehouse, just on 6 years.
Mm-hmm. And what happens, sir?
Well, we don't sell to the public. We have travellers on the road. They come in for their stocks, and out they go again.
Oh, I see they all come from Czechoslovakia.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. A lucky break for the boss. That is one of the largest toy factories in the world in Prague. Mr. Bramsell was their sole agent. Got him much difficulty selling this stuff. Not too expensive, and that's what he is.
Does your boss have any enemies?
Mr. Bramsell?
Hmm.
Oh, I should hardly think so. He's been good to me. Good to his housekeeper, too. Her old man's still in jail.
How do you know that?
Well, she told me. She used to sometimes come out here with sandwiches and beans, just before Christmas, you know. The rush. Things got pretty hectic, didn't it?
So there you have it, Matt. The late Sidney Bramsall seems to have been a highly successful, good-natured, happy individual with not a care in the world. According to X Branch, she was seen at the Silver Slipper, tripping the Light Fantastic from 8 to 11:30. We traced the taxi driver, who says that he dropped some young female at 21 Bradley Street, Stepney, and then proceeded to Bramsall's residence, arriving at about midnight.
Hey, confirming what Mrs. Moore says.
Yes. I suppose someone could have taken a ladder to that rear window. We've had a sergeant questioning the occupants of the house facing Bramsall's. They seem highly respectable.
Yeah, nothing seems to have been taken. This, you know, this seems to be a murder completely without motive.
Now look at these reports. 18 plainclothes men, 22 uniformed policemen. Not one has come up with a glimmer of a clue. No suspicious character seen anywhere near the house. Now, it has to be Mrs. Moore. And yet...
And yet she's been mixing with criminals most of her life. Would she be fool enough to say that the chain was on the front door?
Hmm.
Would she not go down the back and use the heel of her shoe to make false clues, put some markings in the drain pipe, some mud, the soil, and the window ledge, or...
I know, Matt, I know. Yeah. It just doesn't add up. questioned the girl he was with. Apparently, poor lonely Mr. Bramshaw belonged to something known as the Friendship Club. She got £10 for tripping the light fantastic with him. Can't see her even remotely connected with the murder.
Why? How?
Hey, come, come, Carl. This is not like you. We don't know why, but we do know how. You were given a full report of the medical examination.
Yes, I know, Mac, I know. But when I say how, I didn't... I'd better have another word with Mrs. Moore. Mrs. Moore, I don't think you murdered your boss, and if you are an accomplice...
I'm not. Believe me.
No, I don't think you are. My colleague, Dr. McPherson, has given ample reasons why you shouldn't be suspected. But somebody got into this house. How? And you're the only person who might be able to tell us. Now, did you open the door to anyone at any time?
No.
What happened when your boss came home from work?
I don't know exactly. I went down to the fishmonger to get a piece of plate for my supper as the boss was going out.
I see.
When I get back, he was in the parlour having a drink.
Oh, there you are, Mrs. Moore. You remember what I said as I was having dinner out?
Oh, yes, I remember, Mr. Bramshaw. This is for me, for my supper. I'm sorry I wasn't here when you got home, but you're a bit early.
Yes, I got young Harry Lane to give me a lift in his mini. I was in a hurry, and there were certain problems we had to talk about. Oh, well, get the bath running, will you? There's a good soul. I'm shaking the old light fantastic tonight. No, it's not shaking, it's tripping.
You wait till you see her.
Oh, I wouldn't mind taking a trip with her.
I ran his bathroom, and then I went and cooked my supper. I eat in the kitchen when I'm on my own. As I was eating it, he opened the door and said, "Well, I'm off." Bless his heart. You could smell that aftershave lotion a mile away.
And that's the last time you saw him alive?
Yeah. As I told you, I only heard him when he come in and put the chain on the lock.
Well, you should be grateful for that, Mrs. Moore. Otherwise...
Hmm?
Never mind. Did you obey my instructions and check on your employer's belongings?
I went through everything in the house, checking everything. If something valuable was pinched, it must have been something that the spender had without my knowing it.
Well, I've been through his papers, and I don't think there was anything stolen. Except I noticed on his diary next to the telephone a mark which said F796D. Any idea what that could mean?
I saw it. I thought it was the number of a motor car. No idea.
Well, I'll be... The shaving lotion.
Shaving lotion?
Your boss shaved, didn't he? You talked about the lotion. Mm. But what about the razor? I've just realized that there was no razor in the bathroom. There was a brush, soap. What sort of razor did Mr. Bramshaw use?
A cutthroat.
And it's no longer there. The poor chap had his throat cut with his own razor. I'm going to take that page from his diary with the numbers F796.
What do you think those numbers represent, Carl?
I don't know. I don't know. Could mean anything. Except right now I'm touching at straws. There's one thing I do know. When the killer first entered that house, he didn't plan to murder.
What makes you say that?
Well, the very crudity of the killing, the missing razor demonstrated. Surely, had he planned the murder in advance, he would have made sure he would have the means to kill. You can't see him saying, "Well, I wonder if there's a razor about the place." Oh. Particularly a cutthroat razor. No. Wait a minute.
You thought of something?
Yes. I remember seeing packing cases in the warehouse with similar numbers. I wonder...
Now, what do you wonder?
Supposing the culprit was in the house searching for something.
Aye.
Supposing he hears Bramshaw returning home. He nips into the bathroom, waits until his victim gets undressed, puts on his pajamas...
That's very different from your previous theory that Bramshaw went into the bathroom first. No, he didn't. Of course.
What have you thought of, Mac?
Mrs. Moore kept going on about how heavy-handed her boss was with the aftershave lotion. She didn't exaggerate because when I examined him, which was hours after he'd shaved, I could still sniff traces of it.
Well?
Well, he was hardly likely to apply the lotion after he'd washed and cleaned his teeth just prior to going to bed. Now, that substantiates your theory that Bramshaw never went into the bathroom.
And the man never went to the house in order to kill. He hid in the bathroom, probably hoped to make him his getaway. Seized the razor, probably, as Bramshaw opens the bathroom door, and killed him.
Aye, but aren't you forgetting one thing? The chain on the inside of the front door. Now, unless Mrs. Moore is covering up for the killer, and she puts the chain on, how did he get out the house?
Easy, the window.
Aye, but we both agreed.
We agreed that no one could have scaled the drainpipe without leaving some telltale marks behind. It would have been a simple matter for the intruder to have jumped from the first floor without leaving any traces or hurting himself.
Aye, that's true. Mrs. Moore said he kept the window open in summer. He could have landed on the paving leading to the back door.
Or, if he did land on the flower bed, smooth it over, jump over the wall. I think I'll have another word with the people in Ross Avenue.
A most frightful business, Inspector, frightful.
But we believe the killer made his getaway through this house. Is your back door leading to your garden kept locked?
No, it isn't. No one can get access to it, and if... Well, I see what you're getting at. Come to think of it, there was some soil in the hallway. I was blaming our cleaning woman for leaving it like that.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. But what about your front door? Is it bolted on the inside?
No, it's one of those self-locking jobs. What, with four grown-up children?
No, no more, sir. Thank you very much.
What about the killer? Does it mean I must bolt and bar all my windows? I don't want the same thing to happen to me.
It won't. He'll be behind bars and in the air. Ah, Mr. Lane, just the man I want to see.
Oh, what can I do for you, Inspector?
These cases, all marked with the letter F. What are they?
Dolls, why?
What happened to case F796D?
Unpacked.
And the contents? Well, what happened to the contents?
Delivered to customers.
He found you out, didn't he? That's why you killed him. Slashed the poor man's throat with his own razor.
What about that? How did
I'm arresting you on suspicion of having murdered Sidney Bramshaw, like duly cautioned you.
So the unsuspecting Sidney Bramshaw was having his warehouse used as a clearinghouse for drugs, is that
That's
it?
That's right. The stuff would be placed inside the dolls. An ordinary consignment of dolls would contain one case specially marked so that Lane would be able to remove the dolls and hand them over to the drug ring. Apparently some glamorous young female persuaded him to start smuggling, and by then he was hooked. Poor old Bramshaw didn't die in vain, though. Our narcotics boys will have smashed the biggest drug ring since Snowy Phillips.
To kill in such a clumsy, brutal fashion. How did he get access to the place? We know how he got out.
Oh, it's simple. A piece of soap. While his boss was otherwise engaged, he took an impression and had a key cut. Funnily enough, what he couldn't take an impression of was Bramshaw's safe. Only he knew the combination, and he kept a record of it at home. In the safe was the doll that was to be handed over to the police. He warned Lane that he would have to do this. Luckily for us, the young man lost his head when I first questioned him. He was so busy dissociating himself from his boss's activities that he told a very stupid lie. Well, listeners, did you notice Lane's stupid lie? A lie that was to cause me to link the number on the telephone diary with the possibilities of his being the killer? Not sure? Then listen to the commercial, and I'll be back to tell you.
Pick a pack of blossoms, get it from Fresh Takes today. When your breakfast gets them waking in the morning. All the sandwiches you're making in the midday blossoms. For your roast and baking in the evening blossoms. Pick a pack of blossoms.
Blossom, yellow margarine.
Pick a pack of blossoms.
For sandwiches that burst with health and farm fresh taste.
Pick a pack of blossoms.
For frying eggs to a golden turn. For dabbing on your vegetables, carrots, peas, potatoes.
Pick a pack of blossoms.
For baking and roasting and spreading on crisp, warm rolls. And satisfying your family with its farm fresh taste.
Blossom helps the busy mum. Make sure today you're choosing it, using it. Blossom. Pick a pack of blossom.
Pick a pack of blossom.
Well, listeners, once again, a demonstration that sometimes it's the silly, unbelievably foolish little mistake that unravels some of the most bewildering murder mysteries. If you remember, you said that Mr. Bramshaw left his warehouse at 5 o'clock. Did he tell you where he was going?
No. Just tell me to make sure the place was locked up.
And yet Mrs. Moore told us that when she arrived back at the house after shopping for her supper...
I'm sorry I wasn't here when you got home, but you're a bit early.
Yes, I got Harry Lane to give me a lift in his mini. I was in a hurry, and there were certain problems we had to talk about.
The problems, of course, referring to Bramshaw's discovery that he was an innocent importer of drugs. Despite his full confession as to killing his employer, but pleading that he wasn't responsible for his actions, Lane was found guilty and sentenced to life imprisonment. But before the trial took place, the Narcotics Bureau had swooped on various so-called toy shops, but which were, in effect, drug-pushing centers. 14 of these despicable peddlers were put behind bars. Good night. The Epic Casebook was produced by Michael Silver for the makers of Epic Sunflower Oil, Maple Margarine, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, Niblet Cheese Twist, Halvarine Bread Spread, and Blossom Yellow Margarine, with Hugh Rouse as Inspector Carr. Listen again next Thursday night at 9:30 to another exciting story from our Epic Casebook.